We will now begin the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board today. What is it today? Tuesday, September 25th, 2018 at 2 p.m. Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Stephen Graham.
Here.
Tomas Boynton. Elsa DeGoy.
Here.
Marie Dorsman.
Here.
Robert Goodman. Sharon Green. Maria Hernandez.
Here.
Angela Morlock.
Here.
David Rafaitis.
Present.
Takesha Saffold.
Here.
Laura Schultz.
Here.
Mallory Sinat. Clay Walker.
Here.
Tessie Watts. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Moving on, may I have a motion to approve the agenda for today?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Seeing none, agenda is approved unanimously. Next is motion to approve the minutes for May 30th, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are approved unanimously. Quick comments from me. I went to the Palm Beach Habilitation Center over on 6th and Congress and saw a lot of the Palm Tram connection buses there and saw all the great work that they're doing there. And so just seeing you guys in action is always a good thing. So those are my comments. And now we'll have the liaison report from the local coordinating board.
Hi, everyone. If you're new to the board, my name is Alyssa Frank. I am the liaison for the LCB, or Local Coordinating Board. The first thing on our liaison report is PalmTran's route performance maximization. Their project actually goes into effect on September 30th. So that's in 5 days. So new routes or routes will be changed some. The CTD annual training is coming up. That is from October 15th to the 17th in Daytona. If you want more information, the website is on the liaison report. It's also this year actually linked with the FPTA, right? FPTA meeting, so Florida Public Transit. The LRTP is being updated currently. We are seeking public input for that, so there is a survey available on our website, palmbeachtpa.org/participate. We would love if anyone is available or has the time to take the survey. Love the input. We have a couple white cane awareness events coming up. The white cane in our society has become a symbol for a blind person's ability to come and go on his or her own. So the Lighthouse for the Blind is holding an event on October 5th at 10 a.m. to learn how the Lighthouse helps people with visual impairment become independent. On October 17th, Florida Outreach Center for the Blind is holding an event to increase awareness of the white cane law and teach people how to cross the street without fearing for their lives. We are looking for LCB members to do a presentation on how what they do on a daily basis relates to what we do as a board. So that would be a 5 to 10 minute presentation, very brief. We actually do have one today, which is very exciting. If you are interested in doing one, please reach out to me, afrank@palmbeachtpa. My email is also on here, and we can set that up for an upcoming meeting. We are looking for 3 members of the LCB. On the liaison report, it actually says representative for the elderly. That is no longer vacant. We have our representative here. It's Ms. Angie Morlock. We are looking for someone to represent the private transit industry, Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, and Florida Department of Education. And lastly, attached, there is the LCB fiscal year timeline for fiscal year 19. So that's on the second. It's on the screen also. So that has the layout of basically when every presentation, when everything that we work on as a board is going to take place, including the evaluation, bylaws, TDSP updates, and all the meetings. And all the 4 meeting dates are on there also for fiscal year 19, which we are now in. So And I think that is all.
Any questions? Seeing none?
I have one question.
Yep.
Can you give a little bit more specific as far as what type of presentation you want, or is this...
5 to 10 minute presentation, really, what you do, how it relates to what we do. I really think that's it.
Okay.
What agency you are. Rick Gonzalez did the last one. He talked about, you know, what he did and, you know, his agency.
Okay, 5 minute dog there. And pony.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, Takesha's doing one today, so you'll see.
Then we have any introductions from staff?
So we last, at the last quarterly meeting, we had a request to do staff or LCB member introductions and staff introductions for all the new members. So we're going to do that today. Included in the backup and also in the handouts today at the table, there is a list of all of the members, what their role is on the board, and their contact information. So should we go around the table first?
Sure. So we'll start with staff introductions. My name is Valerie Nielsen. I'm the Deputy Director of Multimodal Development at the Palm Beach TPA. And I oversee bike, ped, transit, just multimodal transportation. So I work with Alyssa. I'll pass it on to you.
My name is Alyssa Frank. I'm a transportation planner at the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency. I'm also the liaison for this board. If you have any questions about this board ever, I'm the person to go to.
All right. Thank you. I'm Chad Hockman. I'm the senior manager for PalmTran Connection. I oversee all operations with PalmTran Connection.
Lou Ferry, operations manager for PalmTran Connection. Been here for like almost 16 and a half years, so because I'm the expert of TD and other things. So if you have questions, let me know.
Jeremy Baker, capital and grants analyst for PalmTran. I'm the numbers guy.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And I know that we have a new member, Angie Morlock. Do you mind introducing yourself?
I'm retired for years. I was staff to the MPO, which is now the...
TPS.
Excuse me, for 25 years. My major responsibilities really were the TD program, the water taxi, and tourism. And it all, you know... all related around different modes of transportation, and did everything, the long range, the short range, you name it. And also with the, this program, I also did the annual operating report and anything else that's on here, I had my hand in. So, but it's really interesting to be sitting here today because 4 years is a long time, but it's short. So there's mixed feelings here. But... the need still there, and I'm really happy to be here. I hope I can add because of my experience in the past, and I was sitting on that side, and now I'm sitting on this side. So I hope, you know, it'll be very rewarding. Looking forward to the next 3 years.
I think the request from the last meeting was for all the LCB board members to introduce themselves and some of the folks, yeah, as well. So
okay.
If you guys want to go around.
Well, so thank you, Angie, for going first. I mean, I'll go second, and then we'll just work our way right. So my name is Stephen B. Grant. I'm the mayor of Boynton Beach. You know, I'm also on a board of directors for the Transportation Planning Agency. I'm on the board of directors for the Palm Beach County League of Cities. A chairman of the CRA for Boynton Beach. I'm doing a lot in Boynton Beach. I don't know if somebody saw last week. I helped tear down the Civic Center for our new public-private partnership. And, you know, I feel that Boynton Beach, we do have the legacy community, the 55-plus residences that you want to make sure that the PalmTran connection is there for everyone and that it is efficient so that we can make sure that PalmTran and PalmTran connection work well together. Thomas?
Oh. Thank you, Stephen. Well, first, Angie, welcome to the board. I've known Angie for many years through her work through the MPO, which has changed now, but as so many as things has. But one of the great things is as things change, it's wonderful to have people that have such institutional knowledge of transportation and where we've come, and also has a vision for where we can go in the future. So welcome to the board, Angie. And again, my name is Tomas Boyton, and citizen advocate.
David Rafaitis with Palm Beach County Community Services Department. What do I do? Everything. I have a lot of special projects, worked with many people on this board as well as in staff. I'm also representing some of the things that happen in our senior services department as well as some of our financially assisted agencies. I have a whole bunch of different reports that come out that impact what we're doing up over here. One of the newest ones that are going to be coming out is about poverty and how we drill it down to zip code and the needs and services that people need. So we're really looking at wraparound services. So it's just that it's not only just the individual, but what other services that individual needs in which to be someone successful in Palm Beach County.
Hi, my name is Marie Doisman. I'm with FDOT. I'm oversee the 5310 grant, which is a program to enhance mobility for seniors and people with disability. I also oversee the TD program, and I sit in four boards, all Broward, from Broward to Vero Beach, and that's technically it.
Hi, I'm Maria Hernandez from the Agency for Healthcare Administration. I also sit in three different seats in West Palm, Broward, Miami 4, and the Keys. I do a little bit of everything at the agency, from office, from nursing home closures to pay centers, and just overseeing transportation too.
Good afternoon. My name is Elsa DeGoge. I work for Careers West Palm Beach County. I am the Disability Services Manager. We work with all those individuals that are willing and able and get them job ready to go back to work. We work also with the Ticket to Work program, as some of you may know, which is we partner with Social Security to allow individuals to become independent, self-sufficient, and hopefully get their the jobs that they've always wanted. So that's what I do.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm Mila Wissela. I'm with the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. I'm the community liaison for six counties, from Palm Beach all the way to Vero and Okeechobee.
Good afternoon. I'm Laura Schultz. I'm with the School District of Palm Beach County. I am the ESE program planner for secondary curriculum in transition. So I support students between 13 and 22 as they're working through graduation requirements, developing their last skills towards independence, and then moving into the adult world. I oversee four programs specifically for 18 to 22-year-olds that are completely community-based programs off school campuses, as well as the chair of the city committee, which is the Council for In-Transition Youth, of which several people here are members. And I also sit on the housing subcommittee for SNAC, the Special Needs Advisory Coalition.
Good afternoon. My name is Takesha Saffold. I am a writer of our transportation system, both paratransit and fixed route. I currently serve as president for the National Federation of the Blind of Palm Beach, and I have also served on our state affiliate board for the last couple of years. I also serve as the liaison for the disabled community for the city of Riviera Beach under Mayor Thomas Masters, and I am a transportation advocate.
My name is Clay Walker. I am the Circuit Administrator for the Department of Children and Families serving Palm Beach County. And I sit on so many different boards and or committees that it's too laborious to list them all. Mm-hmm. This being one of them, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So now we'll move on to general public comments. Any members from the public wishing to speak this meeting must complete a comment card that is available at the welcome table. Has anyone completed the comment card? If you have not, please still come up and speak if you'd like to. No, I don't think
there's any. Oh, okay.
All right. So seeing no public comments, moving on to action items. The first is motion to adopt fiscal year 19 local coordinating board bylaws. The Florida Commission for Transportation Disadvantage requires that the LCB bylaws be updated and presented annually for approval. The draft bylaws are attached. Is there any discussion from the board regarding the bylaws? Is there a presentation?
I have a really brief presentation just to show the changes. The bylaws have changed slightly. So the bylaws really guide proper functioning of the TD services and our coordination with PalmTran Connection. They provide procedures and policies for fulfilling requirements of Chapter 427 of the Florida Statutes and Administrative Code. And they set the requirements for transportation disadvantaged services. The updates that were included in this are updates to the operating or per the operating guidelines that are highlighted in the packets that you have, and of course the new chair's name changed from Chair Weinroth to Chair Grant. So. And that's the very brief presentation for this. Told you it was brief.
All right.
I agree to all that.
Yeah.
All right. Motion to approve. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Seeing no more further discussion, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, motion to adopt Fiscal Year 19 Local Coordinating Board Grievance Procedures. The Florida CTD requires that the LCB grievance procedures be updated and adopted annually and with a minimum commitment of 3 LCB voting members to serve on the LCB grievance subcommittee. The draft grievance procedures are attached. Is there another presentation?
Another brief one.
Okay.
So this is also something that needs to be updated annually. And the grievance procedures is a process that is used to investigate issues and complaints that come up from this or about the CTC, which is PalmTran Connection. It is, again, updated annually, and the updates that are included in this update are the DOPA's name. The DOPA is the Designated Official Planning Agency, which is the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency, us. So we recently underwent a name change from the MPO to the TPA. That was changed throughout the document, and again, the chair's name. For the grievance committee, we are required to appoint 3-member committee. Basically, any complaint would go through you guys. So we need some volunteers.
We got 3.
3? Okay.
So we have Tomas Boyton, David, and
Marie Dorsey.
Marie.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
Can I get
through
the chair? I think I've been on this committee for the last several years, and I think the last time I was called was 3 years ago or something like
yeah.
that. So my question is, though, we are going through a lot of fundamental changes, I think, in terms of eligibility, court requirements. Is this something that we see that we're going to be utilizing more often as we start to try and work to make sure that the individuals who can use fixed route, start using that as an option?
We do receive complaints, but, you know, they're usually resolved and handled, and there's not a need for a grievance type of procedure. So, or that they've reached to a grievance level. There might be, but, I think PalmTran and PalmTran Connection and the service that we provide, once the route performance maximization finalizes and we get those rolled off, we're going to start taking a deeper dive into PalmTran Connection and come up with a kind of a robust action plan on how to address it. And I can give a little bit of update later on about what's going on with PalmTran and PalmTran Connection. But with the eligibility, but that's a long-term, it's kind of a short-term to long-term goal to change that to conditional eligibility and push people back to the fixed route a little bit more. So I can't answer that, but I mean, maybe.
Okay. I like the idea. You're the right order. Do the RPM first, get that going, and then we go from there.
All right. Any further comments from the board? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
I'm sorry, Chair. I need a first and a second.
Yeah, we do. Do we need
make a motion?
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have to do it again. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Moving forward to fiscal year 18 annual operating report. Annually, the LCB must review and approve the annual operating report and forward comments to the CTD. Palm Tram Connection staff will present the attached AOR.
That's going to be something that Palm Tram's presenting?
Yes.
Yes. The AOR and the AER. Sorry. Here's the
Jeremy Baker.
It's Jeremy Baker on behalf of Palm Tram.
Thank you. Rather than go through all of these slides, I just wanted to have a brief statement. The reason that we do this is required by Florida Statutes Chapter 427 that each community transportation coordinator submit this annual operating report to the state, the Commission for Transportation Disadvantage, in order to remain eligible for funding from the state for the TD. The CTD at the state level uses this information to accurately reflect each CTC's operating data and then provide a statewide operational profile of the Florida Coordinated Transportation System and evaluate certain performance aspects of the coordinated systems individually and as a whole. The CTD also uses this data collected in this report to substantiate the need to seek additional funds. This report at its core is what drives our funding. Last year, for the 16-17 year, the funding we received from the state was just over $2.9 million. This past year that just ended June 30th, that amount increased to just under $3.5 million. And in our current year that we're operating in now, that runs from July 1st until June 30th of 19, that amount is again increased up to $3,844,000, so almost $3.9 million. There's a... There's a lot of information in this report. And I'm not sure if it's really valuable to go through slide by slide.
Give us the numbers. How about that?
All right. The big numbers. Yep. Total trips decreased by approximately 200,000 from last year to this year, from 16 to 17, from 1.3 million to 1.1. The largest reason for that decrease was the number of bus passes we sold. The difficulty with that is in this past year, the grant only ran for 9 months because of a delay in getting it started. So we were only able to count those bus passes that we sold in that 9 months, even though we sold bus passes for the entire 12 months.
Okay.
So this report doesn't necessarily report all the activity we did. Again, we went over the revenues already. The expenses decreased slightly by about $500,000. That was mostly with staff costs, and it relates to us having staff that were administrative in nature, previously charged from Palm Tran to Palm Tran Connection that are now back being charged under Palm Tran itself. So, again, I can go through all the slides, but I'd rather just say if you have any questions, we can dig into whatever you might have.
Yes.
So you were saying, like, you know, 2.5 million, 3.2 million.
It was a lot
but,
of numbers.
Right, but the in terms of the increases. But that, is that still based on a... what was the size budget? Is it still $100 million budget for Palm Tran, or what size budget are we saying that $3 million was increased by?
This was the allocation from the TD Trust Fund.
Oh, so just the TD Trust Fund, not what we spend, just from the TD Trust Fund.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this report is only to support the information to continue getting those funds from them.
Okay. And through the chair, one more thing. One thing I was thinking, we're really wanting to get people onto our bus, and I was thinking for, like at Wendy's, they have around Halloween where you can buy 10 small little, whatever those Frosties are, and you can give those out, you know, to kids trick-or-treating. A long time ago, I had some extra bus passes, one-day bus passes, and, you know, as I, you know, met somebody who was, you know, in need, if I gave them one or two bus passes, everyone was thankful. I don't know if they already had a 30-day bus pass or not. I'm not sure. But, you know, I didn't feel comfortable always giving cash. But, you know, that I could just give them this bus pass, they were really appreciative. So I don't know if something for like maybe the holidays we could do, like encourage this. And then I also know that through the nonprofit agencies or the human service agencies, they'd like to see more flexibility in the one-day bus passes, because if you have to always show who qualifies to receive it, that's a lot of paperwork. But when you're a human service agency, sometimes you have people showing up at your door that have a genuine need and no money and no transportation. So, you know, even if it was a small amount, you know, each agency is allowed five a month. You pick the number or how you want to do it, but where they could actually have that, the front desk person could have some of those. And again, I think it would be well used. It'd really help people that we need in the system, and that the CTD funds could go for it.
I do not believe the CTD funds could be used for that, because the persons that we get reimbursed have to be qualified.
Yeah, they have to prove low income. You're right. I take that last comment back. Thank you. You're right. Palmtran funds can be used for it.
But I will say, for 4 days coming up with the RPM, the Palmtran fixed route will be free for anyone. So starting next week, starting the 30th, for 4 days, ride the bus for free. Anyway.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Since you're actually speaking about bus passes, I do want to extend my thank you to Palmtran and Palmtran Connect. I had a need, a very quick need, of a student that was going
to
drop out.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you talk into the microphone?
Sure.
Thank you.
I had a need, a real quick need, of a couple of students from our refugee program that were going to drop out of school because they couldn't afford the bus. And by the time we were going to get the process going, the classes would be over. And I do want to thank Palmtran and Palmtran Connect, because they did come and gave them some day passes to finish. So they graduated Friday. So I want to thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Excellent.
All right. Any further comments? Any questions? Seeing none, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Okay. Motion by Boynton, second by Walker. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Next item is motion to adopt fiscal year 18 annual expenditures report. Annually, the LCB must review and approve the annual expenditures report and forward component comments to the CTD. Palmtran Connection staff will present the attached AER.
This is also my report. Mm-hmm. Basically, it is the AOR down to one line. So,
what's that one line?
The one line is that our local funding, state and local government funding for the year was $31,582,000. That provided for just over 1.1 million trips. There was direct federal funding of $322,000 that provided for 8,000 trips. That federal funding is for our Department of Senior Services program to take seniors to congregate meal sites. The other amount, the 1.1 million trips, is all of our other connection trips.
So do we have just a big number of how much it costs per trip on average?
I can do math real fast.
All right.
Per total?
Yes.
One way.
I think in terms of the connection budget and for all of that, it's about $37, $38 per one-way trip.
Okay.
And just to qualify that number also, we have realized there are some expenses that aren't reflected in the Palmtran Connection budget, so we are continuing to look into that to more accurately show what the cost of connection are to persons such as yourself to make decisions in the future.
Okay. Is that like building facilities or use of executive time, or what is it that we're looking at to add to the equation to figure out the new expense or the total cost divided by trips?
I'd say rather than adding it to the equation, just things to factor into the metrics are things such as depreciation on the vehicles, which is currently included. There's also a large amount of support that comes from the county for overhead type of costs, finance, purchasing, things like that, that do not get charged to Palmtran because it doesn't make sense for the county to try to recover something it has to pay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other questions regarding the expense report? Seeing none, may I have a motion to approve? motion? Okay. First by Walker, second by Torciano.
Hernandez.
Oh, Hernandez. I'm sorry. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to information on items. The LCB member presentation, Takesha Saffold will present on her agency and how day-to-day duties relate to the TD-LCB.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Takesha Saffold, and I serve as a member on our board, and I'm excited to conduct my presentation with you all today. So I am a rider of our transportation system for the last 8 years. I'm visually impaired for the past 10 years. So I've been using the system primarily since I've been disabled. I currently serve as president for the National Federation of the Blind, which I have served the last 4 years. And I've been a member of the organization for the last 6 years. I've also have served on our state board affiliate as a board member, and I have provided sensitivity training for various companies, even First Transit during their safety meetings, which has inspired me to develop my own business, Saffold's Consultant Service, LLC, to provide disability sensitivity training. So currently I'm developing that since I advocate and educate people on a daily basis, I figure why not start my own business. I currently serve as the liaison for the City of Riviera Beach, like I mentioned earlier, under Mayor Thomas Masters, which I have done over the past couple of years, and I have campaigned for various politicians within the community. So I'm a very instrumental person in the blind community. Some of the things that I'm currently involved in is because of me advocating on the behalf of myself and others who I serve in our community as a leader, which is why I was inspired to be on our board because of my advocacy and also the ability to serve. And how it ties into our board is because we are basically trying to ensure that the service that we provide for our clients is the best service that we can provide. And for me to provide the leadership that I have and the advocacy that I have, and not only just the things that I do, but how passionate I am to be a part of this board, can enhance the service by giving innovative ideas and suggestions for the service that we do have for our clients who are disabled, and especially for those who are blind and visually impaired. So primarily that covers my presentation. I had everything all lined out, but I was like, I wanted to speak from the heart than trying to keep up with my outline of my presentation. But primarily that's me in a nutshell. Thank you.
Thank you, Takesha, for presenting. We are definitely still looking for other members to present, so please, like I said earlier, feel free to reach out to me if you are a member that would like to present at a future meeting.
Yes, David.
I'll try to keep it really short. I really appreciate you being here and doing your presentation. I shared earlier before the meeting that when I was working in the planning, building, zoning department in Louisiana, we needed to hire a receptionist. And when we were going through the applications, the director pointed out that one of the applicants was blind. And I was flabbergasted. I was like, we have a high volume facility here. How are we possibly going to hire a blind person in which to handle people coming in from the general public and everything? And some of the comments were that we were going to get sued, blah, 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 and all that. Bottom line is Joe was the best receptionist we ever had in that community. He typed up all the messages. He could hear people by their footsteps. Everything was absolutely perfect. To this day, I would hire him in a heartbeat. And so don't let a disability such as that affect someone being hired. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. Is it possible I can add just a couple of more things?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the National Federation of the Blind, just in case for those who may not know, we are the oldest, largest organization for a blind organized movement since 1940. We advocate on equal opportunities such as employment, education, also to ensure that things that can make our lives more independent is to have things accessible and things in accessible format and so on. So part of me being a part of this organization is because we're a strong social movement to ensure equal opportunities for someone who's blind and for someone who's disabled. So I just wanted to point that out because I wanted to explain more in details about my involvement, and I was sort of nervous. So since you did mention about that, is that I bring awareness to our abilities as an example of what we are very much capable of doing. Even for myself, I've been a student at both Palm Beach State College and Florida at University. And that was a big accomplishment for myself because I didn't think that to be visually impaired and to be able to go to school like everyone else and to be a successful student would be something that I would be capable of doing, and as well as other things and job performances that I have. So I appreciate you bringing that point out because I want others to know that, yeah, we are very capable of working and being educated like everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you also for the presentation, and thank you, David, for sharing what your experience is as well. I'm thinking of all the individuals with disabilities and our older adults, and I realize that there are so many people that want to work. And some of the big the barriers to that is transportation. However, PalmTran is really doing an excellent job to make sure that's not a barrier here for our individuals with disabilities. Another barrier is motivation. A lot of individuals might not be inspired enough to know, can I get a job? Can I do something? I mean, we get the pleasure of having Takesha here. We had, Jason brought Jill McKillicuddy. You know, these people saying inspirational messages of, you know, these are things that you can do. I've done it. And if I put my business cap on, all these individuals sitting in a PalmTran connection vehicle, you kind of got a captive audience. So I don't know if there's some positive PSAs we can start making out to, you know, put on our buses, just to inspire individuals to say, hey, you want to get employment? And then not that PalmTran has to do it, but provide the resources like to 211, to Goodwill, to Career Source, where then they can then start to find the resources they need to get employed. And I'd love to see on the next annual operating report how when we look at all of our trips, maybe we'll start to see even higher people going to employment, because I think that would be something the community would love to see and know that they're supporting people to be able to be even more self-sufficient for themselves. So just a thought.
Thank you. And is there any further comments? Seeing none. Last is administrative, which is member comments.
I think you skipped
partner agency updates. I'm sorry. Thank you. We have partner agency updates.
Good afternoon, everyone. Chair Grant, board members. Thank you for the opportunity to present. My name is Jason Babel. I am the Mobility Management Facilitation Project Manager at Ann Stork Center. For the new members of the board who are unfamiliar with our program, the Mobility Management Facilitation Program at Ann Stork Center is focused on enhanced transportation systems for individuals who are transportation disadvantaged within Broward and Palm Beach County. We are funded by the Florida Department of Transportation. This is a joint participation agreement that is a pilot project, and we are entering into our second phase of the project. I'd be happy to sit with any of you outside of this meeting and give you more information about the program. Where should I click? There it is. Okay. So today I'm going to be giving you guys an update on our program, what we've been up to, some specific activities. I'm going to make another announcement about a different ANSTORC Center program that will most likely impact the individuals, or will definitely impact the individuals within Palm Beach County. I'll talk about some of the challenges, and then I wanted to share some preliminary results from our preliminary questionnaire that was requested by FDOT as a situational appraisal for transportation within our region. Thank you. Let's do that. Okay. So some of the exciting activities that we've been up to, we've been partnering with Children's Services Council, both in Broward and Palm Beach counties. They've been a fantastic partner of ours. We're working to assist the respective agencies to learn from each other in terms of their transportation programs, how Broward could learn from what Palm Beach is doing and vice versa. We've been selected to be a part of the Birth to 22 initiative, where there's a subcommittee on transportation. Recently, Marcia Guthrie from Children's Services Council invited us to be a part of the Palm Beach Funders meeting, which we thought was a very exciting opportunity because there are additional funds that they may have access to that will assist us in navigating some of those challenges when you're looking at state funding and funding different initiatives based on the program here. We're also started partnering with human services agencies to provide trips for them pro bono. Dan Marino Foundation had a situation where a few of their participants were unable to get to a rehearsal for their graduation in Miami because it was starting too early. So ANSTORC Center worked with them in liaison so that we could get these individuals to their rehearsal so that they could be a part of the graduation ceremony. And what we're trying to do is see how easy it would be for us to start sharing these assets amongst the community, because of course this is one of the intentions of the program, is leveraging the assets and making sure that these human services agencies are really working together to help each other. The Nonprofit Executive Alliance of Broward County. So this is a group of 70 of the largest human services agencies. And what we're doing with them is trying to, well, we've created a subcommittee on transportation, and we're working with them to identify what their major challenges are, and hoping that from that experience there will be similar lessons that we could learn for the human services up here in Palm Beach County. We're using them as a test group to see how effective it is as a Tier 2 agency for us, and then we want to be able to roll it out to the different verticals, which I'll talk about later on. Operational assistance. Throughout this process, in this phase one, where we've been collecting information and introducing ourselves to the community, we found little ways to help the agencies throughout the process. So a lot of the things that we're doing is putting together tools for human services agencies that are trying to run their own transportation programs and are finding challenges along the way with respect to maintenance, operating, collecting statistics, things of that nature. So what we've done is we've put together toolkits, and we're offering these toolkits for agencies that want to join the coordinated system so that they can have these resources and they're not starting from scratch when they're building a transportation program. Finally, Brightline is a new initiative that we're working on presently. We had a meeting with Brightline about a month ago, and the gentleman came and spoke to us about the services that Brightline offered, and of course we wanted to talk about the accessibility features for individuals who are accessing this rapid transit. So we were talking to them about their partnership with Lyft. At present, they have a partnership with Lyft that will provide trips for individuals who want to get to the Brightline station so that they can go either south or north. What they don't have is accessible vehicles providing transportation to individuals who would want to access the Brightline but are having a difficult time partnering with the TNCs like Lyft in order to get to that, that Brightline station. So what we'd like to do with them, and they're very receptive to it, is develop a partnership with human services agencies here in West Palm Beach, in Fort Lauderdale and Miami, so that individuals can both get on and get off Brightline and have the same sort of access that other typically able individuals would have. So those are some of the things that we've been working on, just a few of the highlights there. What we're really focusing on, what we're really focusing on is finishing our phase one report and making sure that we have this data set for you guys as a useful tool when making certain decisions, but as well information for mobility managers to look at some of the lessons and challenges that we faced during this first initial phase. And then on a side note, I wanted to let you guys know that Ann Stork Center has partnered with Tyndale Oliver and Associates, as well as Transfer Mind, and we've been awarded a contract to work with Agency for Persons with Disabilities statewide. What we're doing is providing an assessment of their existing transportation services and business model, and then we're going to be developing a new transportation service and business model for them with a functional implementation plan. This report is going to be provided to the governor, the president of the Senate, and the speaker of the House in February of 2019. My colleagues at Ann Stork Center, as well as the sub-consultants that are working with us, hope that this is going to be a very new and exciting opportunity for everyone who's seeking to benefit this population. So next slide, please. Okay. So the phase one, I wanted to tell you guys about phase one. For those of you who have been on the board, you've probably heard me speak about the different phases that we've organized this program within. So the first one was about identifying the stakeholders, identifying some of the challenges and issues so that we could put together some analysis and then start working on viable solutions. We had a lot of challenges presenting Ann Stork Center as a transportation organization within the community. From our experience, and this will all be outlined in the report, agencies had required upwards of 8 different engagement opportunities before they were starting to want to invest in the program, because programs come and go, and it's very difficult for them to allocate resources to something if they weren't sure that it was going to be around. What we ended up doing in order to solicit some of the information that we needed is partnering with 211 Broward and Palm Beach through 211 Broward, and they were able to use their call center, leverage that asset in order to get some of the questionnaires that we needed completed from the partners in the community who, frankly, were not responding to our email requests, were not taking our phone calls, and said that they would do so when we went out to different meeting engagements and then weren't able to follow up due to resources or a lack of interest. However, we do feel like we've got a very good sample size now for this situational appraisal so that we can look at the different agencies that were involved in collecting that information and then start looking for viable, sustainable solutions. So it's no surprise, 69.1% of the human services agencies that were surveyed indicated that transportation does impact their ability to serve individuals within the community based on the programs that they provide. I think this is just good information that reiterates the challenges that I'm sure a lot of you hear on a day-to-day basis when you're working with individuals in the community. Some of the other information that I thought you guys were interested in, we were looking at the different types of human services agencies. Most of these organizations were considered nonprofit. I will be sharing all this information with you guys after FDOT approves it, by the way. But you know, we got a good response from the nonprofits, and those, of course, are the agencies that have rather limited resources and need assistance in developing their programs. Agency funding sources. We wanted to see who's funding these agencies, how they're being funded, what opportunities exist with the funding sources that they have. So we were collecting a lot of that information, and you can see some of the charts there. Okay, and does your agency have a transportation program? So a lot of the agencies do not have a transportation program, but it seems like there's somewhat of a split. So as we're moving through the project to the next phase, this gives us information that we need to enhance the existing transportation programs and then also incentivize those other agencies that could be a part of the coordinated network but do not yet have the resources to get that going. And, of course, the old adage is to teach someone to fish instead of providing fish. So that's a lot of what we've been looking at with some of these different programs that we're working on. Okay, so in cross-reference to the Human Services questionnaire, Human Services Agency questionnaire, we're also looking at some of the end users. And this is just a subsection of the individuals that responded to it. And you can see that transportation impacts their daily life. We wanted to make sure that as we were coming up with solutions, it was data-driven. A lot of the Human Services agencies only have a touch point with the individuals as they're coming to access service, and they don't understand or always have access to information about what the individual does on a daily basis. So we wanted to talk to those individuals and confirm that transportation is a huge barrier for them in their daily lives. One of the low-hanging fruit that we saw through our engagement with the Human Services agencies is about the travel training. Do individuals have the information that they need to access the transportation resources that are currently in existence and providing services to individuals? And unlike the North, as we've all spoken about before, people are not brought up with that information the same way that you might be if you came from somewhere like Boston or Chicago, where it's just second nature to take public transportation. So we saw this as a low-hanging fruit and thought you guys might be interested in that. And of course, again, all of this information will be provided in a packet after it's been approved by FDOT. So the draft report will be going to FTOT on October 4th, give them an opportunity to review it. There's going to be two different sections of the report. There's going to be a portion that's going to be available to everyone. So it will be all the data that we put together, and we're hoping that it will help agencies make funding decisions. It'll help them. They can maybe use it as a grant tool or things of that nature. And then, of course, there's going to be another portion of it where we're really getting into the nitty-gritty on the lessons learned, challenges, what it was like to start this pilot project so that potential other organizations or transit organizations can be looking at the mobility management style and having mobility managers and what they could either do better or learn from. And we want to have that as a resource to you if it's approved by FDOT as well. So we're hoping to publish that by the end of October. Okay, phase two. So moving into phase two, where we're looking at viable, sustainable solutions. Some of you may have attended the FDOT Human Services Transportation Summit, and that was a great opportunity to get the community together. What we heard from a lot of the agencies is they wanted to have a follow-up to it. What's next? How are we going to continue the progress? So based on the definition of transportation disadvantage, we'd like to break down the group into the different verticals where we can specifically focus on veterans, low income, individuals with disabilities, seniors, so on and so forth. And from those groups, we want them to start providing us with viable, sustainable solutions because from my experience, the best solutions typically come from those people providing the services and having the engagement with the individuals. We're going to host those brainstorming sessions in November. Yes, we're going to host those in November. We're hoping to wrap them up in January so that we can start looking at which solutions have the opportunity to impact the most number of riders. And then we can start looking for funding for implementing some of these solutions, which will be the fun part. Okay. So we've kind of engaged in a soft start with some of our partners here, and we want to make sure, as this is a pilot project, we're doing our own bit of beta testing when we're looking at how to assist some of these human services agencies. So Broward Community and Family Healthcare Centers, Inc., they are an organization that was providing medical trips to their clientele. Unfortunately, one of their drivers hit some water, engine hydrolocked, they lost the lease on the vehicle. They're in a difficult position because they're no longer able to provide transportation to a subset of those individuals. They only had two vehicles. So we've engaged them and started looking at their numbers to see if they could be supported by some of the grant opportunities like the Section 5310. We've started advising them on how to get a coordination agreement in Broward and working them through that process so that they can become eligible. And what we'd like to do is lease them one of our vehicles in the short term, because mobility management is about short-term planning, so that they can continue to provide trips for this population, and then they can roll into a potential grant-funded situation and then join the coordinated network. So we're getting their information. Right now they're doing no reporting. So we're trying to work with agencies like that, and we want to see how easy this process could be. The insurance has been a bit challenging, I will tell you that, but we're working through it. We've got our general counsel working on agreements, and as it stands right now, our insurance company has agreed to it. They just said we just need to see the contract so we can dot our I's and cross our T's. So if this type of pilot works, there's no reason that other agencies couldn't be doing it, because a lot of the times these agencies will either have a backup vehicle or they're not being used during certain times, so this asset sharing is going to be very important to alleviating the stress on the paratransit system. I guess you can't see that image. I apologize for that. Another project that we're working on is with Access Academy. Access Academy provides day programming for individuals with disabilities, and they came to me and they wanted to start providing transportation as an APD authorized transportation service provider. They don't have any transportation programs or anything set up as it stands right now. They also wanted to create a partnership with another program where they were providing job skill training for individuals who would go to nutrition sites and unpack the donations. So they needed vehicles. So what we're trying to do with them is we'd like to park two vehicles up here at Access Academy, use Anstork Center's transportation authorization through APD, train their drivers how to do it, give them all of the tools that Anstork Center has put together so that they can start making real assessments on what it's like to have a transportation program. Do they have the skill set? How can we help them maintain that skill set or build up the skill set and eventually become eligible for some potential funding sources like Section 5310 and become an APD authorized transportation provider, which would provide funding for operating dollars as well. So these are some of the soft starts that we've begun to work on to see if this asset sharing and assistance from individuals and agencies within the community will work. and we're hoping that they will be quite successful. As well, we've begun our travel experiences. We've changed the name from travel training to travel experiences due to liability. We're focusing on two different parts, a train-the-trainer aspect, where our first class is with Children's Services of Council of Broward County, where we're going to be working with some of their STEP provider agencies and giving them the tools that we've developed from partnerships up here in Palm Beach County and as well with Easter SEALs. What we're doing with this information is trying to make it hyper-localized. If you look at some of the other training manuals or travel experience worksheets that are out there, they don't focus on South Florida. And if someone is trying to build experience and build knowledge, we wanted to make sure that it was very hyper-localized. So we're talking about PalmTran. We're talking about these different resources that exist within this region. The Ride Away Project, my colleague Danielle McGill, she has finalized her peer-to-peer resource. It's called the Ride Away Guide, an Advocate's Guide to Getting Places. So she took all of the different modes of transportation that are offered within Broward and Palm Beach County. We've broken down this resource into Palm Beach, Broward County, and inter-county transportation options. And she is giving tips to individuals on how they might navigate the transportation modes that are available. And, of course, it's from a peer's perspective. So right now we're in the process of having that designed by one of our partner organizations, We Are Ideas, and that will be included in the report that goes to FDOT on October 4th. The intention from there is then to use that as a tool as Danielle goes out to advocate, educate, and inspire individuals to try different modes of transportation. And ideally, if it could potentially happen, we'd like to replicate it in other parts of the state because, as again, it's hyper-localized to here and not all of these access or all of these modes of transportation would be relevant to people in other counties. But that is something that's down the line and we'd be looking for a funding source for that. So the next steps is finalizing the report. I'm going to be working with, Board Member Boyton. To make sure that as we are developing our tools and resources, we're working with other agencies that are involved in this mobility management program to truly make it a regional effort and share information. As I said, I welcome the opportunity to come and meet with any of you to discuss the things that we're doing. And of course, we're meant to be an ancillary group to this board, PalmTran, PalmTran Connection. So we're always at your disposal should you have any projects that you'd like to see us work on. So thank you very much. Questions?
Any questions from the board? That was a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Yeah. Do we have a question over there?
You have? Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jason.
Got to flick that on. Thank you, Jason. It was a really thorough report, and I really appreciate it, and it was really good to see all the collaborations that you're working with and how the different angles that you're doing it, from using the MSTORC vehicles to getting other partners involved. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really a wonderful to see that happening here in Palm Beach County. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Friday and discussing the insurance, because that's one of the components I've been working on, so mm-hmm. there may be some things we can work on that. I would give a little caution. In your presentation, you were discussing meeting with the different populations, and I do agree that in some respects you can separate veterans because there might be more grant funding for just veterans.
Yeah.
But when I take a look at all of the individuals that I've seen use transportation, there's just such a large commonality that if an individual is sight impaired or might have, you know, a slight other type of disability, that it's really, they all need transportation. And so I just caution, don't make it too much of different silos. Mm-hmm. Because when you go for grants, even if it is geared for veterans, if you could have the other partner agencies feeling more like, okay, this is our grant we're going for, even though it's a veterans grant, I've seen where they've given some of these bigger grants and knowing that the veterans would be one of the big people that would be supported, mm-hmm. but then other contributors that were doing the match funds were also going to get some transportation. So when you have these presentations, like I'm even just thinking the logistics of saying, okay, we want older adults. We're going to have this one meeting. Now you're going to have older adults from all over the county having to go to one place versus if you're having already these presentations and saying, hey, we're having this meeting here and it's for all individuals with disabilities mm-hmm. that want to, you know, give a voice to this, you may get more people to come that way.
I appreciate that feedback. It's definitely something that we considered. When we're looking at creating these workshops for the different verticals, though, we're focusing on the human services agencies themselves because we feel like they have more engagement with a specific group of people that may have challenges very specific to their certain disability or ability or the group that they identify with. So when we're looking at these funding opportunities, we want to create a kit for the veterans to get together and organize themselves and say, this is something that we could do, and we're going to go after this funding, and we want to be, them to be successful with that. My concern is that, you know, it's just me. You know, I'm down at Answer Work Center where there's two mobility managers, and we're looking to fill that role. I want to make sure that when we're identifying the solutions that can provide transportation and mobility, we're going after the ones that are including the most engaged groups and have the ability to affect the most change, because we can't do it all. What I'd like to do is start with pilots and move through the solutions, and if it can be replicable and it can be sustainable, then we can kind of leave that and give it to the right people who would be able to run it and then move on to another opportunity that may exist. But I completely understand what you're saying in terms of trying to navigate all of these different populations. We have found during our phase one final report, by doing a comparative analysis from the regional, state, and national level, that there are very distinct issues that are being presented to these different groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through the chair one time. All right. And I agree there. The veterans, I said veterans because there is a lot of funding for veterans because we have a lot of veterans coming back hurt. But when you talk about veterans, what are you talking about? Somebody who cannot see because they were an IUD. Somebody who's in a wheelchair because they couldn't, you know, their legs got blown off. Somebody who is no, has PTSD. So again, when you talk about veterans, you're talking about multiple disabilities within that group already. Mm-hmm. So again, I encourage you to do it exactly how you're planning. I think it's great to work with the individual human service agencies that know their specific populations. But I think as you see and you work with them, it's going to be the same things. And so the more you create the cooperative, the better. And I do like that travel experiences. I mean, travel training is an industry term, and this is the first time that I heard travel experiences. Mm-hmm. But not just for legal reasons, but also just in terms of the perception. I think it's wonderful that you did you coin this, or
Danielle came up with it. I have to give her credit.
I love it, and I would like to see us calling it that regionally, the travel experiences than just training. So awesome. It's a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Anything else from the board? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Do we have another partner agency that would like to present? I'm waiting on you.
Okay. No, I guess not.
And then last is administrative items, member comments. If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn. Our next meeting would be Wednesday, November 14th. Oh. Yes, all the way down. Elsa.
Yes.
Into the microphone, please.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that. Okay. Hi again. Before we adjourn, I know we all want to go, but I wanted to share with you. I know that a lot of you are already aware, but with your new routes and the fixed routes, I cannot leave today without saying that we're our client at CareerSource. We serve not only disabilities, but special needs when it comes to snack, when it comes to reentry. The bus stop in front of CareerSource is going to be removed and rerouted. As we were informed, it's a quarter mile. It can be walked. Our clients are very upset when they got wind of it. Now they want to know, where do they call? What do they do to hear their voices? They went onto some of the website. They didn't seem to find an easy access to hearing their voices. They said they could call customer service, and a couple have called customer service, and they said, by the way, customer service is very nice, whoever customer service is. They've been treated with respect. But there's a lot of concerns for our client population to have to walk the quarter mile to get to the CareerSource with the rerouting, because these populations, as you know, already have a lot of barriers. And the buses, although they say they may not be as used or the usage may not be as high, we still have our reentry population that uses them. We have our SNAP and our TANF, which is our other programs. We have multiple programs. So I just want to know where to direct them to please let them know to have their voice heard, to see if you eventually re-look at this maybe after you try it for a while, because our clients are very upset. We're getting more and more concerns about that.
I just want to jump in and say I echo that. One of our programs is losing one of their bus stops, and this is going to start creating a significant hardship for our kids who are now going to be crossing, I think it was 441. So there are, while I'd really like more fixed route bus stops out in high schools, this is also, you know, it's going to be a big adjustment for some of our people.
It's a good point, because also safeties were an issue, because here in Florida, as you know, we don't have sidewalks, and on the sidewalk, Career Source stops where that bus stop stops. If you have to walk a quarter mile, and never mind walking a quarter mile in a suit going to an interview, because we do have on-sites where we have employers that come to our facility, but in addition, you know, a quarter mile is a quarter mile. In the heat, in the rain, and if you can't afford any other way of transportation, but the fixed bus route, we hopefully can look at some other way. I don't know what that is because I'm not the expert, but I just want to let all of you know, and please let me know, where do I reroute my clients, because my door keeps getting knocked on lots, and I don't know where to go, where to send them. We looked on the website, and like I said, we only had to go through this tree, number one, number five, number three, I don't remember, to get to customer service. But please, some guidance.
Sure. So we'll contact you directly to let you know who to speak to. With any humongous project like this, I mean, this is, for those of you that don't know, this is the first really big project PalmTran has done in the last 20 years. So although two of you may be feeling some hurt, there might be some that are feeling the benefit of it, because, right, of course, they had to look at the ridership numbers and see, you know, would it benefit this bus stop staying here serving this amount, or reallocating those resources and helping so many more people. So this is just a phase. I mean, literally the first phase in this RPM, because we have to see how it goes. So it doesn't mean...
How long does a phase last?
I don't know.
So that's, okay. How many people are we going to impact when it comes to employment?
So in terms of the route performance maximization and the new stops, it's going through December. And then they'll do a run pick and a rebid. And at the time, we're also kicking off a huge campaign with our performance statistics team to measure the route performance maximization effectiveness of those stops. So while we can't change those stops today because this is rolling out, we are going to be looking at the impact that has, and there will be adjustments made coming up in the next bid. So if something needs to be reallocated, or a stop needs to be changed, or something comes up, it'll be evaluated, and then it could be something that they will look at come January.
Takesha, I'm sorry.
I need to add something, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, you go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, to follow up on that, is there a way, as part of that process, that we can request possible stops for consideration in places that have never had one before? Mm-hmm. Because we would have a lot easier time with getting students trained to use fixed route bus if mm-hmm. fixed route bus existed at their schools. So as a way to add that feedback, it would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure.
And I understand it's not going to happen tomorrow. And it has benefited some of our other programs, so I understand it's a shift. Sorry.
No problem. I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Nakasha Wells. I'm actually the Senior Manager of Governmental Affairs for PalmTran. And I would like to continue to direct any individual concerns to our customer service telephone number. But from an organizational standpoint, representatives from the school district, and I didn't get a chance to see what organization you were representing, but I
Career thought Source, Palm Beach County Workforce Development.
Career Source. From an organizational level, I would like to give my contact information to each one of you so that we can address those concerns from an organizational level. As Chad said, we are going to, this is just the beginning. We did have to look at ridership numbers, but we will revisit this. This is a continuing moving process so that we can ensure that our service is of the greatest good to the greatest number. So I just wanted to make sure that you all had my contact information, because RPM is definitely my baby. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Can I just make a quick comment? Also, if I can speak with you as well, just to mention that I'm quite sure Mr. Liu is aware of the bus stop at the Braille Club. It used to be a little closer, now it's further away. And sometimes some individuals who go to the Braille Club, they use the fixed route, and it's a little a ways from it, and you would think that it would be more convenient or easier to bring it closer, to make it more convenient for someone to go to the Braille Club, since the Braille Club is a historical place for individuals who are blind to attend. So I just wanted to mention that so that particular stop could be thought of as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The RPM, as Lou said, this is, since 96, this has been revamped. And I've sat on the PalmTran service board, I think, like 7 years. And so I'm pretty intimately knowledgeable of how it works. And it really is interesting. The reason why they don't do any little tweaks is because you move things 3 minutes here,
yeah,
and the implications it has everywhere from getting to Tri-Rail, where we don't have control over it because it has to be there by that time. So this was a huge undertaking that, PalmTran has done, and it's the yeoman's job. What I would recommend, though, is as we take out the RPM and we're displaying it to the public, go to the chambers of commerce, go to the nonprofit boards where you're talking to the executive directors, because 6-7 years ago, I remember there was a push for transit-oriented design. And what we're having now is TAD, transit-adjacent design. It's close, but, and with the bus, you'll never get door-to-door in the front, but you're really creating the system that's mostly maximized to hit as many people. But when you're in Rome, you kind of do what the Romans do. And here in Palm Beach County, transportation really isn't on the minds of executives. And so when they're thinking where we're going to move, they're often not thinking of that. Where I know for a few years back, where they were thinking of where they're going to put the new Children's Services Council building. It was like adamant. It had to be by public transportation. It had to be by Tri-Rail. And I think that if we can encourage our nonprofit and our for-profit businesses to say, you know what, we're really going to be having a next level bus system coming over these next few years. If we have to move, it could actually be an asset. I'm from Chicago, and if you have a business that's on public transit, that's gold, because people are being dropped off in front of your station. Right now, our business owners don't think of it that way. They think of it as, no, we don't want people dropped off in front of our businesses. So that would I just be encouraging. Just go to these local leaders who they might not even be thinking right now to move, but it might be a year or two. But that way it's on their radar to start saying you need to be on major routes if you're going to be serving these different populations.
Any other comments from the board? Going once? All right. May I have the motion to adjourn?
Second.
All right. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.